If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here. ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3777. Nobody's coming yet. Nobody's stepped in. If you didn't see the Rockets game last night, it was fun. The Rockets ended up winning at the end. They just were relentless on the boards. Alpi with the tip. Amen with the putback, and that was the game.
It's always fun when you win when you pull one out. That's always
fun. Yeah.
I would say it covered up for what wasn't a great game by the Rockets. They didn't shoot it particularly well. They beat them up on the boards, kind of standard, right? One of the best. Are they considered? No, they're still the best rebounding team in the league right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
By quite a bit.
And I'm pretty sure. See if they're the best 3-point shooting team, too, still. But that was fun. That was a really good game. They played James Harden. James was James. James came up with a huge shot to tie the game late. James, after the game, I mean, he got hugs from everybody. Everybody loves him. Clint Capella, especially. They hugged a long time on the court after the game. James, walking back to the locker room, got a nice ovation from the fans. There's no reason to hate James. James is an all-time Rocket. He's going to have his number retired. He is one of the greatest scorers in league history, and he did most of that damage with this team. But James asked about, this team in particular. He had some high praise. Here's James talking about this Rockets team.
Amazing. You know what I mean? Like LP and Amen and guys that are around them, Jabari, they're built. They got some very, very good structure. And obviously you add Katie into that mix. And then you add the vets around them, you know what I mean? And Steven Adams and, other guys like that. So, they're a good team.
That's a good team. That's a good basketball team. Whether or not it's going to be good enough this NBA season with Oklahoma City, we'll see. We'll see whether or not this team's got. I mean, this is a champion. Honestly, I believe this is a championship team. Tari comes back, and Dorian Finney-Smith. We'll see when that happens.
Just pretend he's not coming back because he could be the Joe Mixon of the team.
He's out there practicing. He was on the practice court. They showed clips of him.
They don't even talk about him anymore.
So he's not. Someone who won't return. He's out there working his way.
Honestly,
back.
I mean, you could use him now. You could use him now, but this is going to be really challenging.
Yeah. Yes, says me.
Yeah, for Ime Udoka to figure out how to play him. I mean, he's already got Okogie's minutes are gone. I don't know whose minutes, and then when Tari Eason gets back, legitimately, I'm not sure how the minutes are going to be divvied up off the bench. It's going to be pretty interesting because somebody can't play anymore. Somebody's minutes are going to go bye-bye. You got Reed Shepard in the backcourt, Holiday in the backcourt. Holiday's minutes are more likely to go away than Reed Shepard on a general basis, but on a matchup basis, Holiday may play more than Reed. You got Finney-Smith, Okogie, And Tari Eason, when he gets back, and that's we're still going to be, what about 3-4 weeks away on
and
Tari.
Fred.
God forbid Fred comes back. I don't know what happens at all. You have a completely different team at the end of the year. You're having to work.
one that beats the Thunder.
Well, I don't know. You're having to work. It's brand new chemistry you're having to develop. It's not. It sounds good on paper. It can be a challenge in that locker room as people then get their minutes taken. How are they going to deal with that? Is there going to be any hard feelings? Are they going to be used to playing through Alpi? Because I got news for you. It's going through Alpi and KD. But really, through Alpi's the hub. And that ain't changed. Like, I'm sorry, Fred, but this goes through the guy who's, as you mentioned, John, could be, he won't be first team all pro.
Sorry, Fred.
Yeah, Fred comes back.
Would he complain?
No, but I'm just saying, not that he'd be a complainer, but how else do you play Fred? Fred is at the top. That's where Alpi is now. You can play everyone else. Amen, and everyone pushes to the wings. I never see Fred push to the wings. So there's some questions to be answered as people get healthy. You've gotten used to life without Fred VanVleet, now Tari Eason, certainly Finney Smith. You never even had him, so you don't even know what that's like. It's going to be interesting to see how the minutes get divvied up for the Rockets. And Ime has to do a good job of making sure he maximizes his lineups, that he doesn't hurt his own team by putting together lineups that aren't cohesive. But the sooner you get him back, the faster you can work through those issues so you're ready by the time he gets to. Because it's going to be an 8-man rotation in a postseason. We already know that. One guy off the bench, you'll get Adams off the bench, you'll get a wing off the bench, and you'll get a guard off the bench. That's what it's going to look like.
Is that Reed?
It'll probably be Reed, Eason. It'll probably be Reed, Tari, and Steven Adams. Yeah. I mean, but what Finney Smith gives you is if there's an injury,
yeah,
Finney Smith, provided he's back.
No, I think you'll see important. Finney Smith. You'll see.
Well, who doesn't?
You might see a Kogi. You might see Aaron Holiday.
I mean, it's going to be tough. He doesn't typically. He's even in Boston, he doesn't play 10-man rotations.
Yeah.
Most playoff coaches don't, actually.
Yeah, I know.
It goes 7 or 8. So somebody's probably not getting many minutes. And it'll be interesting. And Eason is – I have a hard time believing somebody who's never played for the Rockets at all, Finney Smith, is going to get his minutes. But a Kogi could end up being – and what if Fred comes back? And Reed probably doesn't play.
I listen, Finney Smith's coming back before – I mean – it's not like he's coming back right at the playoffs.
Right.
He'll be back before.
Hey, we got to break it here. Chris Felica is coming up. We got to break as we get to him.
Yeah.
He's the bear on big, what's the name on Fox?
Big Ass Football. Big Noon Kickoff. You might want to figure that out before he gets on.
BNK. Big Noon Kickoff. Got it. Bang.
Big Ass Noon Kickoff.
No, there's no ass
should
in the
be.
Title.
It'd be a better name.
It would be better.
Big
I think
Ass Noon
people
Kickoff
would.
Brought to you by Wendy's.
Now that'd be a show I watch. Mm-hmm. Time to talk about Underdog Fantasy. That's something you watch.
Underdog Fantasy, how did you do? Did you go higher on touchdowns for Kyle Pitts? Did you go lower on rushing yards for Rashad White? I don't know. What did you do on Thursday? Because Thursday Night Football, you had a lot of different players that you could have gone higher or lower on. And that's what we're talking about. Football's here. I don't know how you get on the action, but one of the best ways is Underdog Fantasy. It's totally legal in Texas. It's real money. And you have a chance to win simply by picking higher or lower on stats. And this year, whether or not your team wins. How about that? You can have team win and player stats where you go higher or lower. You can have them together. That's the difference with Underdog Fantasy. So much fun. You're going to watch these games anyway this weekend, these football games. Play along with them with Underdog Fantasy. You got a ton of different NFL games, very impactful games, some less impactful. Some of them, you have teams who are out of it. Are they even going to compete? Maybe this is a time to go lower on some of those stats. Maybe the teams who need to really win and play well, they're going to really go hard early on, so play higher with your first half stats. That's what I'm talking about. You can do so many different things. There's so many different statistical options. Analyze the game and play along with it according to how you analyze it. And you can win big money. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players that you put all together, the more you play, the more players you play, the higher your payout is. And you can collect it quickly, too, so that's not a problem. Underdog Fantasy, download the app, use promo code Lance in your first deposit, and you're going to get $75 in bonus entries after you make your first $5 fantasy entry. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Lance.
Crypto.com predictions powered by Underdog Predict. Trading derivatives involves risk and may not be appropriate for all. For more information, visit Nadex.com/rules and UnderdogFantasy.com/rules. For Crypto.com predictions, the term pick refers to a product traded on CDNA. Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_HTML for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. Time to talk some college football with the Bear. Chris Felica joining us of Fox pregame fame now here on ESPN with us, ESPN 97.5. Chris, welcome to the show. We appreciate your time. We want to talk about all these games, but specifically Miami. And our producer has a Miami tie. Did you go to Miami, Chris?
I did. I graduated from Miami in 94, yeah. So I was there during the 8-game home winning streak.
So, oh, wow. That's fun. So you are our producer, big Miami fan. And let's break this down, though. Let's take your personal feelings out of it. We've been talking about the defensive ends on both teams. It's going to be hell for both quarterbacks. How do you see this one playing out?
Obviously Alabama Oklahoma is a competitive game too, but I think this is the most intriguing first round game because I think whoever wins, I give them a chance against Ohio State in the quarterfinal. But what you guys hit on is exactly right. These are two of the better teams in the country in terms of like pressures and sack differential. So offensive lines good, defensive lines good. So we'll see what ultimately happens. I think from a Miami point of view, like I guess we can start there. Their front on both sides of the ball have been very good, and I think they feel good about being able to get Malachi Toney the ball in space, and kind of he's been one of the more explosive players in the country over the last month of the year. And I think if he continues to play that way, and there's no reason to expect he wouldn't, and if Carson Beck were to continue the way he played over the last month of the year as opposed to how he played during the middle part of the year where they lost 2 out of 3, I think they feel pretty good about their chances on that side of the ball. But I will say I know that they are concerned obviously about Craver and Concepcion and their ability to catch the ball, because that's been one of the areas that they've been at times a little bit exposed. I mean, a lot of that has to do with the injury to Keontae Scott, one of their better defensive backs, and Corey Heatherman's done a really good job at kind of keeping them out of bad situations. But if Scott can't go, that obviously will hurt them quite a bit. But staying out of third and long for Miami obviously is going to be a key. I mean, guys, obviously following the Aggies all year long, they know how they've been forcing teams into 3rd, 7th, 3rd, and 8 all year, and that's been the thing. Ultimately, I think it comes down to what we've seen towards the end of the year. Are we going to get the A&M that we got the last few games of the year where you fell behind against South Carolina at Kyle Field and made the comeback to win? So the game against Texas in the second half, Longhorns were able to run the ball up and down the field, and that didn't go well. If we get that, then Miami's got a great chance to go in there and win, basically how they played the end of the year. But now you look at a Miami team, it's got to go on the road again, again, in a really hostile environment. It's a very athletic front. There's no guarantee that they're going to continue to have the same success on that side of the ball. But I will say, I think the winner here has a good chance against Ohio State. And I kind of feel bad for A&M because I kind of think they got screwed in the seed. I couldn't believe that they kept Ole Miss as the 6th seed. And A&M is the 7th. It's a massive difference in quality of opponent. And yeah, I don't know why the committee couldn't have made an easy switch and say, no, we saw too late Ole Miss already this year. Why don't we make A&M, who's got the better win against Notre Dame, the 6th? There were a lot of things the committee did this year that we all can agree to disagree on and talk about how that kind of screwed things up. But, yeah, I was a little surprised A&M was behind Ole Miss in the final standings.
Yeah, college basketball would have done it differently. The way college basketball now they have more games, obviously, to filter out through the tournament, but they certainly would have altered the matchups there. Chris Bearfalico with us right now from Fox. And, you know, both of these quarterbacks, you talked about this, Mike Elko, a former defensive coordinator who's a trenches-type guy, Mario Cristobal, former offensive line coach, very much a trenches-type guy. I think you bring up a really good point, and I think it's going to be the running game to stay ahead of the sticks to keep a couple of mistake makers in Reed and Carson Beck from getting in those positions, because it's maybe more important than ever before with Cassius Howell on the field, with Mezador, with Reuben Bain. Those two guys are tremendous at getting the quarterback in two very different kinds of ways. I think keeping your quarterback in comfortable positions is going to maybe be the difference in this game, because somebody's going to make a mistake. We just know the way these two quarterbacks have played at times, somebody, Chris, is likely to make a mistake, and that could be the difference in this game.
Yeah, no, easily. And I think what we see, Moss, we're expecting him to play for A&M. Is that the
word? Yeah, he should play, yeah.
Which is it's a big deal to be able to have him back in the backfield. I think if you look at the Miami running game from the start of the year to where they are now, at the start of the year, it was a little bit of a Jordan Lyles hasn't seen the field much lately. Charlie Brown, who he's seen the field not as much lately. Mark Fletcher. Jared Pringle is a guy who did not play early in the year. Freshman didn't play it down the game against Notre Dame. He's kind of become their every their kind of go-to back. He and Mark Fletcher really kind of interchange each other now. But Pringle is a guy that he is a little bit different. He's more of a twitch guy. Fletcher, you can really rely on him between get the hard yards, and every now and then he can burst over and get a little bit. But Pringle is a guy that I don't think Aggie fans have probably seen much of this year, because he really didn't play until the final month or so of the season. So he would be a guy that I would I'm sure the A&M coach has been able to. I mean, they know what they're doing. They can see that he's kind of got a little bit of a different gear. But yeah, I would think with a healthy Moss down for the Aggies and Pringle kind of some fresh legs, being that he didn't play much of the other, those two guys I think will have a big play. I do know as well one of the areas of concern for Miami on the defensive side of the ball. I mentioned the secondary. Like if the A&M can get those linebackers kind of isolated on Moturi, I think that's a matchup. I think A&M and that offensive staff would try and to exploit, because that's somewhere we saw a couple of times to see Moturi get a little bit lost in coverage. Certainly against Louisville, that happened quite a bit as well. So that might be something that I'm sure Eddie Finn's talking about as well.
Chris the Bear Falika with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Why do you think that the winner of this game has a chance against Ohio State?
Because I think what we've seen from Ohio State this year, look at the best defenses that they played, they really haven't done anything. 10 points last week in the Big Ten Championship game against Indiana. First game of the year was, 14-7 against Texas. They didn't do a whole lot. And they didn't face a bunch of great defenses throughout the regular season in the Big Ten. It was a very bottom-heavy, skewed type scale. Illinois' defense is terrible. Michigan's defense certainly wasn't great by their standards. So I think whoever comes out of this would feel pretty good about where their ability to generate pressure on the quarterback and be able to make some plays on the other side of the ball. The honesty defense is really good. That front is really good. But you're looking at two teams in Miami and A&M that both kind of built, like you said, the same way. Really good on the offensive line, so you would think that they would be able to have some success in protecting their quarterback and maybe be able to get a little bit of gain on the ground. Like on the flip, I would really love to see how their defenses were able to get some pressure on Julian Sayin. If he has some time and he's able to get Tate and Jeremiah Smith against the secondaries that they have, yet big plays could be had. But I'm not sure that's the case. I think Ohio State's number one by default. They were number one by default because they were the reigning national champs, and they are still the favorite to win the title. But after seeing them a couple of times lately, this is not like last year where they were the most talented team in the country and they had players all over the field. It's still been a little bit of a transition year, And I would give Miami Orietta definitely more than a puncher's chance next week in Dallas.
You went to Miami. You know Miami. We know a lot about Texas A&M. You know a lot about all college football. Let's step outside of that game and get to the playoffs in a general sense. Indiana-Ohio was a fascinating game because basically Kurt Cignetti and Mike Shanahan, his play caller, they decided this is who we are. Last year they ran the ball 40 times against Ohio State. This year, 34. So they say we're going to be who we are, and we are not deviating no matter what. The difference is this year they have a defense that can stick with it. What are your thoughts on this Indiana team, and what are your thoughts on Mendoza in terms of being a guy who can lead you all the way to the championship? Because there's not a lot of quarterbacks right now in this tournament that you say, oh, yeah, this is a guy who can put the team on his back. I'm not sure.
It's interesting you say that because we talked about this a little bit on our Bearbats yesterday about how which coach quarterback combo do you trust the most? And I said, it's got to be Kurt Cignetti and Mendoza, right? To go out and have an undefeated season. And look, last year, I think Indiana was a little bit of, I don't want to say fool's gold, but the schedule was terrible. They got embarrassed during the regular season against Ohio State when they played it. They got embarrassed in the playoff against Notre Dame, and they went out and they got themselves better. They brought in a better quarterback. Haynes brought in some different guys on defense to make them better. Like their defense was fantastic, and the loss that they have now on the defensive line is a big loss moving forward. So we'll see if that defense takes a little bit of a step back. I think what Mendoza's best ability has been this year is to just kind of put the bad play behind him. You saw the pick six at Oregon. The place was going crazy, and what do? They just go right back down the field and restore the double-digit lead. Didn't have a great game at Iowa. Went down and made a big throw in the final drive of the game to get him the win. Didn't have a great game really against Penn State. That fell behind. Places going crazy. Put that behind. Let it drive down the field. And then last week, when they needed a big play on third down, you know what? We're not going to run the ball and run time off the clock. And we're going to go for it. And they did it. And they won the game. So I think it shows the confidence that Cignetti has in Mendoza and that offense in general. Their receivers are much better than they were last year. I think Indiana's for real. I will say I don't know if they were to win a rematch, if they were to get Oregon in a rematch, or if they would win that game. I'm really high on Oregon. I think getting DeCorian Moore and Gary Bryant Jr. back at wide receiver will totally help them. Their offensive line is going to get healthy. Not playing for 3 weeks is a huge advantage, I think, for the Ducks. And I think if you look at Dan Lanning's team last year when they made the playoff, they got embarrassed in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State. It was like 31-0 before you could blink. So I think getting that home game is huge to get them off on the right start. And then that Texas Tech Oregon game in the second round would be a fantastic game. And I would like the winner of that. That game, I would like their chances a hell of a lot against Indiana as well.
We got Chris Felico with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If Kalen DeBoer doesn't beat Oklahoma again, there's rumors about him to Michigan. Is he possibly done at Alabama?
I can't see him making that move. I know we were kicking this around at our Big Noon kickoff thread the other day about that. It just doesn't seem like it would be the right move. He seems like he's much better off at a kind of a West Coast kind of more a little bit more laid back type of situation. Like going from the pressure cooker in Alabama to up to Michigan, coming off of this unbelievable turn of events. I don't know. I can't see that. I can't see the Minter hire either. Because I think it's going to be in a position now where you just go on to kind of cut off and end kind of the association to the Harbaugh era with all the problems they've had both off the field and on the field. So I can't see I don't have a good answer as to who they might look at, but I don't know. I don't see DeBoer. I know he's a Midwest guy from Indiana initially, but I don't know. I kind of feel like if he were to make a move, it would kind of be out west. But you're right about that game, the Alabama-Oklahoma game. Last year, going to Norman, they were absolutely just crushed. They couldn't really look like Jalen Miller had never thrown a ball before. And then this year, completely different. They outgained the Sooners by about 200 yards. turn the ball over three times, block a field goal, just total meltdown. If they were to go to Norman again and lose, yeah, it would be a lot of pressure. But I don't think it would be the type of pressure to say I'm packing up my family again for the second time in 3 years and leaving.
Not with the recruiting class they have. I don't see that either. But they will be restless in they will be restless in Tuscaloosa. And I will say, you know, it's interesting. They don't run the ball well. I think they've lost some of their physical identity on both sides of the ball since Nick is gone. Ty Simpson has shown a level of regression, at least from a production standpoint and a decision-making standpoint, as more and more teams have tape on him. This is, you know, I don't love this Oklahoma team because I don't really care for him offensively too much. But I'm not sure this is a great matchup for Alabama. I think Alabama's the better team. I'm just not sure they win this.
Yeah, but they outplayed them and they lost. They just made mistakes. But why can't listen? Simpson, you said Simpson, you know, he's regressed. That's all they can do, though. I mean, they don't have any running game at all. They don't have any running game at all for him. The Bear, why can't they run the football?
Their offensive line, for whatever reason, which was thought to be one of the better units in the country with Proctor and those guys, it hasn't performed in the run game. And Mark Ingram has just been kind of, he obviously watches them very closely. He just doesn't see a difference maker at running back like they've had. And obviously that's a big thing, Jim Miller, but obviously not healthy all the time. I do wonder if maybe, I haven't read yes or no, if Josh Cuevas, the tight end, is going to be back. He's a massive part of that offense. If he comes back, does that maybe help loosen things up a little bit? Maybe you're not you're not maybe bound to just the passing game, and maybe that opens things up a little bit for the running game. But you're right. Oklahoma's a team that offensively hasn't done a whole of a lot. They've won some games this year. The ugly way, look, I mean, Sooner fans and I have not seen eye to eye. I guess we the politically correct way of saying things on my opinion of Oklahoma this year. But I'm sorry, I just pointed out that the worst team by far, efficiency-wise, in terms of offense. But, hey, give them credit. They've made plays on defense, special teams, to win games. But, yeah, there's something about this Alabama team. I even brought it up a couple of, like 6 weeks ago. So I'm like, this is a team that I would get a good vibe on. It's a team I'm going to look to fade in the playoff. And now you're drawing probably the lowest power-rated team in the field in Oklahoma. So it's kind of a good deal for Indiana, where I don't think IU will have much problems with whoever gets out of that game in Norman. Hey,
Chris, I'm on the Joe Moore Award Selection Committee, and when we were sitting, you know, we discussed these teams from week one moving forward, and everyone watches a ton of tape and puts the time in. And when we got time for the semifinalists, we were looking at having as many as 12 teams. We ultimately ended up with 10 teams. We couldn't find Alabama in the top 12 offensive line-wise. And we look at pass pro, we look at run game, and, you know, Georgia didn't make it, Ohio State didn't make it, Alabama didn't make it into the semifinalists. Of course, they didn't make it into the finalists either. But it's just a weird year when you look at who's, you know, the three teams. Oregon is the finalist, and this is the Joe Moore Award is the top offensive line unit in the entire nation. And Iowa is a finalist. They're not in the playoffs. Indiana and Oregon both are. They're in the finalists. I mean, they're finalists. They're in the playoffs. But this is going to be a fun year because I think it is pretty unpredictable. I think people are sleeping on Texas Tech a little bit. I think Ole Miss, you know, if they didn't have the coaching turnover, Chambliss is just a really explosive talent. They can score with anybody. They just don't defend. Like, Tech and Ole Miss are the two that are really intriguing to me in the group that people aren't really talking about.
And that goes to one of the bets that I had given. I played the field against Ohio State and Indiana because I think you're right. The depth of contenders, is this going to be an anomaly this year, or is this going to be like the new normal in the NIL era with teams and be able to bolster their rosters year in and year out? Because if you were to tell me at the end of in January, we're looking at either Texas Tech, Oregon, Georgia, Miami, A&M. If you're looking at any of those teams winning the title, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And I'm curious about the one worry I have about Tech, though, is just what people have been talking about with their offense kind of getting bogged down in the red zone. The game at Utah early this year, I know Hammond had to come in and play, and you talked chalk that up a little bit, but BYU couldn't really. Those games were not close, and they could have been worse on the scoreboard had the Red Raiders been able to finish off drives and score touchdowns instead of field goals. But that defense is really, really good, and I think that's kind of been the difference, I think, this year in college football. You were just kind of talking about it, where it's been these teams that have been really good on the defensive side of the ball. Trench play has mattered in the sport. It isn't just old school Big 12 lineup, four wides, and we're winning like Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma, 51-47 types of games. Defense has mattered, and we've seen a lot of lower scoring games. I think every conference championship game actually wound up going under the total. It just really showed how much, and I like it that way. I like low scoring games. I like it where every drive is kind of a struggle, and if you score, it's a massive win, and it's kind of, you know, the oohs and ahs of big hits and big stops. So I can't wait for this thing to get started and ultimately see where we're headed, because like I said, I think it's as wide open as we've seen in a long time. So, yeah, my colleague Jeff Schwartz, obviously, on the Joe Moore committee, too. And I love talking to him about when he breaks down the film and looking at these offensive lines, and he notices other things just about quarterback play in general, or a tight end or a receiver on a team. Just little things that you notice when you're looking at the offensive line play, other things kind of pop on the screen. So that's been beneficial to me as well, and kind of just figuring some things out as well.
The Bear. Boy, you like defense and low score. You must love our Houston Texans. I mean, because – and big hits and
–
yeah.
Wow.
And struggle scoring.
Yeah, struggles. That's what we have. That's what we're all about.
Be careful. Be careful this week.
Huh?
Big favorite coming off of a big win.
That's what John was saying.
That's what I say.
You know, it's funny, Bear. I got my start handicapping. I was a 24-year-old who started my own handicapping business because I wanted to get into sports. And I learned from pool halls in New Orleans from a guy who was a vice president of finance at Freeport, Mac Moran, and he was just a New Orleanian who was an old school yak. You know, I'm going over there, we're going to do, you know, the whole nine. And he taught me so much about Tony Salinas and power rankings there and,
oh, yeah,
and Vegas. And, you know, and then I went up against, you and I probably have a lot, I went up against Ken White. Is it Ken White? No, it's
Kenny White.
Yeah, Ken White.
Kenny White is still in the
still
Circa
in the
Friday Football. Yep, the Circa Friday Football Invitational contest that I'm in yet.
Exactly. So
Kenny
I was
White in, is it? Yep.
Okay, so I was in the Stardust contest back in, you know, like 2001 with Doug Castaneda and those guys, and Scucci had me. I came in and I did that, and I beat Ken White is Las Vegas sports consultant, highly respected. Week two, they flew me back to Vegas, lost to Rudy. It was the most disgusting loss of my entire life. Rudy. Real Rudy.
Rudy.
And I mean,
Rudiger.
I'm sitting here and I'm breaking down the game, and Rudy is just like, just putting
like
no,
their,
put no
I like
thought
their
into
colors.
Anything.
Yeah, I like their uniform.
No thought into anything. And he beat me.
That's funny. Well, you hear? The Bear says watch out this week. I've been telling him this week, Bear. You got to watch out for this game. It's a trap game.
Watch out for
the Cardinals. They suck. And look at the Bucs the last couple of weeks playing New Orleans and Atlanta at trap games. And so you got to be really, really careful with this one.
How do you lose a game to a team that committed 19 penalties?
I mean, that's
impossible.
The most ever.
No. There's been a 23, I think.
No. Atlanta's most ever.
Oh, yeah, correct.
Atlanta's most ever, and they won the game. Unbelievable. I don't know that Todd Bowles is long. Did you see his press conference dropping F-bombs and throwing the players under the bus?
I was going to say, and blaming the player. Coaches are doing everything. Are you? I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, Bear, great to talk to you, man. We really appreciate it. It's good stuff.
Love
we
to get
appreciate
you on again. If you're available sometime in the future, we'd love to get you on again.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Maybe before the championship game. Let's try.
I would love to.
All right, that's Chris Felica, the Bear, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Just Bear. The Bear is We Chef. Bear.
Who we're talking about.
Just Chris Bear.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, he's not
The Bear
is
not
Jeremy.
Sure if he still loves to cook.
Yeah, Jeremy. I'm sure Bear loves to cook, too.
No, but The Bear is not sure if he wants to.
Oh, no, he's not sure. He's kind of whiny, too.
He is. I'm tired of it.
Yeah. Time for you.
Not tired of Bear. I'm tired of The Bear, though.
You want to cook? How about some Taqueria Serrandas?
Yeah, if you want to, if you don't want to cook, how about Taqueria Serrandas? How about that? And by the way, I've been telling you you can get your orders for tamales at Taqueria Serrandas. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe you get them at Serrandas Bakery. That's where you're doing it, because that's where they're cooking things in batch, like tamales. They're doing it at the Serrandas Bakery location. Now, I can tell you that Serrandas Bakeries, there are fewer locations than Taqueria Serrandas, but they're all next to a Taqueria Serrandas. So if you go to one, there's a good chance that you'll have, or at least there's a chance there's an Serrandas Bakery around you. If you go to an Serrandas Bakery to get your conchas or to get any of your dessert, they have a great bakery. They have a great bakery. Take advantage of it for anything. But I'm telling you now, their tamales are outstanding, outstanding. And that's something that people, I'm getting tamales next week. I think he's going to bring some tamales for all of us, John, when you're back in town. I think we're gonna be feasting here on some tamales when our guy Sal gets in. But I know this, breakfast, lunch, dinner, available, Taqueria Serrandas, they have you covered. I mentioned your tamales that you can get at the Serrandas Bakery. But it also makes a great gift card. Get a gift card for Taqueria Serrandas, and you can give that out to friends, family members, coworkers. There's 24, I believe, in the Houston area to take advantage of. So it's going to be close to everybody. It's Taqueria Serrandas for authentic Mexican food at a real legitimate price. Taqueria Serrandas.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. The number to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Rockets win last night. Big, nice win. Tough game. Pulled it out at the end. Came up with the clutch plays. Texans in action on Sunday, and just like Bear told you, you got to be careful with this one, okay? It's a trap game. We got to watch. We got to be careful. Now, I will say this. It's not like the Cardinals fans don't travel, right? They're not going to be. We need to be there, though, right? This has got to be a game. We got to start taking back our stadium. It seems like all the big games, there's so many of the opposing fans there. And we're going to get a home game in the first round again. And we can't let, because we're winning this division. The Texans are winning this division. I don't think there's any question. They win out, they win this division. It's got to be, this has got to be the start of, because Vegas isn't going to travel here, right?
No.
No. Cardinals aren't going to travel here.
No. Raiders will travel a little bit because Raider fans live.
Right.
They're traveling. Raider fans are. Cardinals fans aren't really here.
No. But the Raiders fans have to be done with this season anyway already. So, you know, a lot of them are. They're not going to. They've got a nice fan base. Don't get me wrong. But they can't dominate the stadium like other teams have. It's time that the Texans took over this stadium. It's time.
Their own stadium?
Their own stadium.
We got to take over NRG Stadium?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's funny. What's ironic is Texans fans travel really well.
Yes, they do. I was looking at tickets for the Chargers game. We're probably going to go.
I saw it. It was a good game time ad you did yesterday out on the golf course.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
Yeah. That
made me want to like, and I was thinking, he's actually telling the truth. He was looking at game time.
Which is rare because he's a big liar. I had a season ticket holder. I actually asked this particular question. Are people excited? I know it's the Cardinals, but you ripped off five in a row. You can possibly win the division. A guy called it and said he goes to the games. He says the opponent's going to play a big part in maybe a lack of people showing up on Sunday.
Yes. That's a problem.
No, I believe
you were a season ticket holder, John. You know that's true.
Yes,
people like and the weather's going to be good. I would have the roof open if I were the Texans.
That should bring more people out. The weather being good.
I'd say as weather's good. Well, to me, 60 degrees is great.
It's perfect. That's perfect.
Wear a little
football
jacket, you're good. What's what the temperature is in the studio right now? 60.
That's not a good.
That's
thing.
Not great. That's you feel great. Cold air blowing on you.
It's warmer here. No, but all of those things, all those, and I believe that guy. You got to show up for your, this team has turned this thing up totally around, and you're actually, you know, I really believe, I don't know that I ever believed in the 2012 team.
Ooh, it is a little chilly on Sunday. 61 is a high, 35 is a low on. Oh,
that's great.
I guess 57 rolling into 61. Yeah, it's going to, I mean, I think it's going to be good. You'll just wear a little jacket, you're going to be good. I haven't been out to a tailgate. I may see if Sweet Miller and the boys are still doing it and go out there and get a little comida. I say that, but I actually.
Are you going to the game?
No, I got to write up draft prospects.
What?
I got to write up.
You said go prospects. See Sweet.
I was going to, and now I realize I got to write up prospects.
And now you're not. Now you're not. Now yeah, you're going.
I've kind of goofed around, and now I really can't take any like time off at all. I went and saw my daughter perform her first concert at HSPVA yesterday. So I was like sitting there trying to scour the phone on Rocket stuff because I like to keep up before I record stuff, but I like to keep up before it. And I didn't think I was going to have to keep up with any football because I was like, Tampa will smash them. And then I'm getting texts from John, my season's effing over because of Kyle Pitts already at the halftime. And it only got worse for you.
It only got worse. It only got
worse.
111 yards and 2 touchdowns at the half for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
What the?
Can I tell you that my daughter goes to a school that's, you know, pretty artsy school, really mega talented kids. It's hard to get in. You have to test. You audition, and there's, you know, less than like 8 to 12% of the people who audition get in. And she got in for choral, and there's, you know, there's dancers, and there's creative writers, and there's musicians, and all this stuff, and theater kids. When you have a school like that at an event, they go all at, like, ain't nobody holding back. There's not a lot of introverts. Every single performance, every student who was there screamed like it was like they had, like it was in the fourth quarter of a game with the Seattle, the 12, like it was like the Seahawks versus the Texas A&M Aggies, and their fans were trying to have a scream off. So the 12th man fans were having a scream off. It was like that in that auditorium for every single, I was like, wow, just you guys really get into this a lot.
That's their football game.
It is their football game.
That's their homecoming.
The artsy kids really, you know, really, really make it happen. They get they get into it. No one's afraid to be loud. No one's afraid to be noticed.
Well,
you know, in real life,
they're in a school like, for the arts. They better not be.
You know, in real life, you've got a lot of like, you're just like, I don't want to. I don't even like really cheer. I don't like standing up and cheering by myself at a football game. I'm like, I'll just wait, see when the rest of the crowd does it. That's not really how theater kids are. Let me tell you that right now. Like, if they're not the center of attention, there's a problem.
That's why they're there. It's the Bills-Patriots game. I'm reading where it's the
biggest game
battle
of the year
for the MVP.
Does Matthew Stafford exist in people's minds?
Yeah, I would not.
Yeah, I guess
I would
not.
Yeah, it should be Stafford. It actually, by the odds, it's May Stafford are right there with each other, and then it's Josh Allen is third. Oh, but I guess their thought is maybe Stafford gets jumped if Josh Allen has a big game. I don't know. I think Stafford's more likely to win. Josh Allen won last year. That's going
to
hurt.
Who's more likely to have a big game? Maybe Drake May.
Yeah, but well, look at that defense.
Look at the defenses.
No, I just think what it takes for the Bills to win, Josh Allen is the guy who has to have the big game for them to win. That's why I would lean in his direction.
Oh, Josh is – oh, well –
he is the one.
Yeah,
man.
He's more likely to have the team on his back.
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah, but is he going to do that against that defense?
I mean, Drake May in their first meeting was okay, and then he turned it on late to lead the comeback and win. I just don't think the Patriots win specifically because Drake May puts them on his back. He's been good this year. But if we're going, I got to get this one. Josh Allen's going to be running the football. It's one of those games where he's going to have design runs. He's going to scramble. If I'm making the bet about who has the better numbers in a win, I'm going with Josh.
I got to get mine.
Yeah. How are they going to win a game if he's not great against a good opponent?
Isn't there – there's like an Arctic blast coming in, isn't there?
Yeah, it's going to get, well, it's, yeah, it's going to be,
well,
get
I think in
close.
Chicago, the high is 13.
Yeah, we're going to be, we're having rain come in, I think, tomorrow, and then Sunday it's going to be a high of 61. But, yeah, it's going to get a little cold.
No, well, in Chicago, 13.
Yeah, I was there when it was 19.
Shadur is going to play in 13 against that Bears defense.
It's not
going to
be great.
No.
Like Caleb Williams is a West Coast guy. Well, I'm not sure where he's from, though, because he played at Oklahoma before he went to USC. And he's played in – this is his second year in Chicago, so he's seen some cold weather.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I like Chicago to really bludgeon. I like the Bears to bludgeon. It's a must-win for them. I like for them to bludgeon. I don't know what happened to Cleveland's defense last week. It was crazy. Cleveland's defense.
Well, Tony Pollard had his way with them.
They were getting wrecked last week.
I just don't want you guys to allow people to believe that that this Drake May propaganda should stand in the way of Matthew Stafford winning the MVP. He's 35 touchdowns, 4 picks. Drake May is having a good year. It's like 23-6. What are we doing? I get it. Patriots, giant surprise, right? 10 wins in a row. No one expected it. They expected it to be better, but not this good. Matt Stafford is having the best quarterback year, bar none. And I don't understand why the numbers, why the odds are so close. 35-4. And his team's good, too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's pretty shocking what Drake May is doing. What Drake May is doing is shocking.
Whatever. We got this old guy who people thought wouldn't be able to play. Remember before the season began, we were wondering if Stafford was available.
That's right. Yeah.
His back. We haven't heard about his back at all.
All season. Yeah, he's carrying the Rams along with Devontae and Puka. But I guess the only thing you would say is Drake May doesn't have Puka and Devontae. But 35-4 in any other season, I don't know if this would be close.
I think he's going to win it anyway, though. I mean, cooler heads will prevail. He will win.
And he's never had won one before, which helps his cause.
Oh, yeah. He's got to win. All he's got to do is play out. Yeah, he will win.
This will put the icing on his Hall of Fame career.
He's got to get one. Yeah. He's got to get one.
Yeah. He's got the Super Bowl. And if he gets an MVP, well, he's a Hall of Famer anyway. Even without the MVP, Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yes.
I think that Super Bowl and then following it up with the good years after solidified his status.
Is Big Philly's return the biggest story this weekend?
No, it's Pats versus. You're talking storyline, but Pats versus New England, just the game.
Well, you got Packers, Broncos, too.
It's the two teams on 10-game winning streaks at home who are underdogs. That's the story. Two teams who got a shot to, I don't know if the Broncos can clinch, the Patriots can.
The Broncos have won 10 in a row?
They both have won 10 in a row.
Both 10 in a row.
How do we let them off the
This court? Is only, there's only like, so this year, 2015, the Panthers and Patriots won 10 in a row. 2009, Colts and Chargers, Colts and Saints in 2009 as well, 99. There's only like a handful of times that two teams are on simultaneous 10-game win streaks in the
history. Do you want to hear something crazy? Well, no, this is not. So how do you think the AFC odds are?
The AFC
odds? There are three teams that are basically the same. Yeah, how would you stack the AFC odds?
Broncos, Patriots.
So the Broncos are third at plus 375. The Patriots are tied for are first at plus 350. So who's second?
Bills.
Bills are plus 375. Who's fourth?
Texans.
Yes, plus 500. They're 5-1 now to win the AFC. This is incredible. Jacksonville 6.5-1. The Ravens are 10-1. Chargers 10-1. Chiefs are 17-1. Look at the disrespect for the Steelers 17-1. The Colts have gone from I think it was plus 200, like 2-1 to 45-1 now.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, Big Philly, come on.
No, I mean, that's, and he is going to start.
He is starting.
Yeah, he is going to start.
That's crazy.
They're keeping it quiet, but I think.
I saw one guy say, you think Big Philly got off his couch to hand the ball off? He's thrown 45 times.
No, let me tell you something. Big Philly ain't throwing a lot. I will be shocked if we don't see a record number, at least a season-high carries for Jonathan Taylor this week.
I wish you had an underdog spot right now. What's the under-over on number of passes? But right now, no. Instead, you got Tuckerius around us to talk about.
Which, I just did.
Well, you're going to do it again.
Might not do it again? Okay. I'll tell you the same thing I told you before. Tamales are at Arandas Bakery. I'll tell you this. Tuckerius Arandas also has lunch, breakfast, and dinner available for you. Authentic fare for very fair prices. Excuse the no pun intended. They have fair prices for their authentic fare. That's how I do it. That's how my play on word game is. And on top of that, it's a great place to go hang out, watch games. You can cozy up to the bar. They've got sports bars in a lot of their locations where the bar is set off from the rest of the restaurant. And they've turned it into sports bars, and so you can go watch your favorite games on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You have soccer matches in the morning. You have basketball. You got football. You'll have playoff games coming up soon. Go to a Tuckerius Arandas. You may not have thought about that, but they've got a great bar menu. They've got great drink specials going for you. Get your beer, your margaritas, your food. It's all right there. And you're going to have TVs all to yourself in many instances where you say, this is where I want this game. Or if you're like me, you got to have at least 2 to 3 set up, which they do over there, on the games that you want, so you get multiple TV settings. Tuckerius Arandas, the sports bar. So head on over there for great food, for sports, for drinks, and tamales at the Arandas Bakery. It's Tuckerius Arandas.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.